Well, you can open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14, as we've been plowing through this book, it's really about worship and walking with the Lord, how we're to do that. It's a book of holiness. It's a book that declares we're to be holy because God is holy. And so in this first part of chapter 14, we see something rather amazing, I think. And so beginning with verse 1, Leviticus chapter 14, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is, to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times and shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows. Even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes. Also, he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean." In chapter 13, last week, if you recall, we saw how the priest was to recognize and then diagnose leprosy, that hideous disease that disfigured people terribly and would cause them to lose sensitivity in their nerve endings and all the rest, and they became hideous and sores would be all over their body and they smelled bad. It was a terrible, terrible disease, and there were specific instructions, as you recall perhaps from last week. There are specific instructions on how to determine whether or not a person had leprosy or not. And so we knew from that study, we saw that there was no way for a leper to be healed. There was no cure for leprosy. A person that had leprosy couldn't be cured of their leprosy, which was bad news if you're a leper. No cure. We talked about the fact that in the Bible, folks, leprosy is, of course, an illustration of sin. And so just as there was no cure for leprosy in their day, so too there is no cure for sinners. Bad news if you're a sinner. Huh. And everyone has to come to the realization that there is no way for them to be cured of sin. They're hopelessly lost because of sin. Everybody has to come to that conclusion. Now, the wonderful thing about this particular truth is that even though there was no cure for leprosy, a leper could be cleansed. He could be cleansed. And so that was the good news for lepers, is that even though there was no cure, cleansing was available. And sinners have the same good news, don't they? We have the gospel, which means good news, and that is we can also be cleansed of sin. We can be saved. We have salvation available to us. That's the good news. Jesus Christ died for our sin. He was buried and rose again. And if we believe that he did that for us, we embrace that and believe it, then we are saved. Wonderful. Good news, you see. Now, the only way, you see, a leper was cleansed was by a miracle of God because there was no cure. So if a leper was cleansed, it was a miracle. God gave him that gift of cleansing, of healing. Now, I got to tell you, this didn't happen in the Old Testament, though. What didn't? Cleansing for leprosy. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, he says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." So, although they had the law of leprosy and the law of cleansing for leprosy, it never took place, except for with Naaman. And Naaman wasn't even a Jew. He was a Syrian. He was cleansed, if you recall the story there in 2 Kings, he was cleansed by washing in the Jordan River 7 times. A miracle. In other words, what kind of a cure would that be? Even Naaman himself said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go dip myself in the muddy Jordan River 7 times. There's other rivers back home that I could have done that in." And his servants, if you recall the story, told Naaman, "You're a bonehead, Naaman." I'm paraphrasing, but they said, "What do you got to lose? Hello, Naaman, you're a leper. You know, your nose is falling off. You know, you're coming apart. What do you have to lose? Go dip in the Jordan like the prophet told you to." You know, Elijah told him, go dunk yourself 7 times. And so he did, and miraculously, he was cleansed of his leprosy. It was a miracle, you see. But the priests had this law, had this ordinance, had this way of determining whether someone was a leper, and then they had this cleansing ritual, this ceremonial cleansing that they had on the books, so to speak, but they had never used it. They never used it. They never did it. Nobody was ever cleansed of it. In fact, when Jesus Christ was on the scene here on earth doing his ministry, if you recall, he was cleansing lepers. And if you recall the accounts, every time he says, "Now go show yourself to the priest. Show them that you're cleansed." Why? Because they'd never seen it before. He was saying, Go show the priest. Go give them something to do. They can do a cleansing ceremony on you. They've never done one of those before. And of course, it would have been a mind blower for the priest. Nobody got cleansed. Jesus was the cleanser for leprosy. Still is. The cleanser of leprosy, you see. And it's a miracle when somebody gets cleansed of sin, isn't it? It's not some cure that we have. It's not something we can do. You can't, you know, say, "Okay, here, take these, you know, these pills, or take this medicine, and you'll get better. You won't be a sinner anymore." Won't work. There is no cure. It's a miracle that anybody gets saved. So in this part of the chapter, this first part of chapter 14, we see the steps that are taken in the leper's cleansing and restoration back into the congregation. And when you look at this, you'll see that it's nothing short of a miracle. That this worked. That this took place. Now, this indicates, as we read this just a minute ago, it indicates that when the priest looked upon the leper was already cleansed. But I believe that this ceremonial cleansing that we're shown here is really the method, the way, the reason why the leper was cleansed. It teaches us some amazing things in this cleansing ritual. It's a most powerful illustration, picture of what Jesus Christ has done for all of us lepers, for all of us sinners. It's an amazing thing. So you might want to jot a few things down, but I want you to notice something. Verse 1, it says that the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest." And it says, "The priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper." Now, the unclean leper wasn't allowed, of course, to go into the camp. He couldn't be in the camp. If you were a leper, you didn't belong in the camp. You couldn't be in the camp. Where were you? You were out of the camp. You're out of here. No lepers allowed, you see. But here we see that the priest would go outside the camp. He would go out to where the leper was outside the camp to meet with the leper and to check him over out there, outside the camp. Now, the leper was shut off from society. He was shut off from the camp, you see, where the priests were dwelling. Just as we, you see, were shut out, shut off from God. If you're a sinner without a Savior today, you're shut off. You're cut off, literally, from God. You can't be in the camp, so to speak. "Well, I don't want to go to camp anyway," you say. Hey, the picture here is really amazing. The camp where the priest dwelled, the camp where our great high priest dwells, is an awesome place. It's not like any camp you've ever been to. It's heaven. It's heaven. You see, our great high priest Jesus came. He went outside the safety of the camp. He went outside of that dwelling place of his. And he came outside. He comes, you see, to deal with sin in this world. He came to meet with you and me just the way we were, lepers, even though we were shut out outside the camp. It's interesting to me that the priest would go outside the camp and deal with the leper, but he wasn't considered to be unclean when he went out and checked the lepers out. He didn't come back and say, "Well, that one, he wasn't clean." And they didn't say to him back at the camp, "Oh, brother, you've been with the lepers. You can't come back in here." The priest wasn't unclean, even though he would deal with lepers. Jesus, if you recall, there in Luke chapter 5, I love that story, where the leper comes and Jesus not only heals him, he doesn't just heal him from 50 feet away, which is what probably most of us would have done. You know, far enough, close enough, you're healed, okay? Just don't come any closer. Man. Because we see that that man in Luke 5 was full of leprosy, and which means he was in the end stages of leprosy. He would have looked and smelled terrible. But Jesus didn't just heal that man. It says there that he reached out his hand and touched him and healed him. He doesn't just cleanse, he embraces. And he's not considered unclean for it, is he? In the scriptures, nobody said, "Oh, you're unclean now, sorry." No. What did they do? Well, the multitudes began to flock to him. Why? Because if he'll touch a leper and cleanse him, maybe he'll touch me. Maybe he'll touch me and cleanse me and heal me, you see. So, number one, understand this. In this scenario of how Jesus represented in this story is really pictured. Number one, the priest went outside the camp to the leper, just as Jesus came into this world to seek sinners. He He came for that purpose, to seek sinners and to save them from sin. But notice now what he does, what the priest does when he meets with the leper, verse 4 says, "Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel running over water. And for the living bird he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from his leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field." So for this man, this leper, to be cleansed, the priest said two birds have to be brought. Why two birds? Two birds have to be brought in. One of these birds is to be killed. The other one's going to be let go. Two birds. It's a picture for us of our gospel. There's two parts to the gospel. There's the death of our Savior, Jesus, and there's also his resurrection. So the one bird dies, picturing the death of Jesus. The other bird is let loose, picturing the resurrection of Jesus. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, it says, and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15 says. This is why one of the birds, of course, was killed in an earthen vessel. He was killed in that earthen vessel, verse 5 says, a clay jar he was killed in. Now, birds don't belong in clay jars. Do they? We don't stick birds in clay jars. They belong where? In the heavens. Flying around the heavens. That's what a bird does. They fly out in the open, in the heavens, you see. But Jesus Christ, you see, came down from heaven and put himself in a clay jar. In an earthen vessel. Paul calls these bodies of ours earthen vessels. They're earthy. They're tents, more or less. They're just these temporary housings for our spirit. They're earthen vessels. And Jesus came to this earth, put himself in an earthen vessel so that he could die for lepers. Amazing. But notice that the one bird that was killed, this one that we would say, oh, this poor bird, you know, I mean, I'd like to be the other bird. I don't want to be this bird, you know, this bird's dead, you know. But this bird that was killed in the earthen vessel, it was over running water. It was over running water that this bird was killed. The running water or moving water or living water speaks, of course, of the Holy Spirit. Remember in John chapter 7, around verse 37, Jesus says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit," it says. The flowing water, the living water, the moving water that bird was, you see, killed in that vessel with, that water that flowed over him was the Spirit. It says in Hebrews 9 that when Jesus Christ offered himself up, it was through the eternal Spirit that he did that. Our Savior comes and puts himself in this earthen vessel and through the eternal Spirit of God, is killed for lepers. And we also see here, there's other items, interesting items, that are part of this ceremony. There was wood, and there was scarlet, and there was hyssop. the wood, the scarlet, of course, all this stuff, the hyssop, the wood, the scarlet, and the bird were all kind of tied together, put together. And all of it, you see, was dipped in the blood of that dead bird. And of course, we see, don't we, the amazing parallel here. The wood, Jesus would be nailed to a cross, a wooden cross, which would have blood on it. The scarlet, the blood on the wood, our salvation. The blood on the wood. And then the hyssop. Now, the hyssop is kind of interesting. The one bird you see killed in the vessel over water, the wood and the scarlet and the hyssop are dipped in the blood of the killed bird. Now, why do you suppose they did that? Why do you suppose that they had to take all this together and dip it? Well, the reason they had to dip it in the blood and then sprinkle it on this man was because even though the blood was shed, because we know without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin, even though the blood was shed for that person, it still had to be applied. Hyssop, if you recall your history, which wasn't that long ago, folks, in Exodus, remember in Exodus when the last plague was being pronounced to Pharaoh, Moses told him, this is it. This is your last chance to let the people go. And if you don't, the firstborn of every household is going to die. God's going to take their life. Remember? And Pharaoh, of course, hardened his heart again and wouldn't do it and all the rest. And then that death angel came that night, remember? But God had given Moses some instructions for the children of Israel so that the death angel wouldn't take their child. Remember what they were supposed to do? Moses was instructed by the Lord, have all the households throughout Egypt, have them kill a lamb. And then, with that blood of that lamb, take hyssop. This little broomy-like plant that's real flimsy. Take that hyssop and dip that in the blood and get that blood on the door post of your house. If you understand the way that the doorposts were made in those days, you'll see that they had to do it across, down the side, down the bottom. It was a cross. The blood on the wood, applied with the hyssop. The hyssop was what applied blood. And even though the blood was shed for this leper, for this person, it had to be applied to him. It had to be sprinkled upon him. 7 times. Jesus, of course, would be pictured in this, that his blood we are covered with. We are set apart, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're not under the blood of Jesus, you're not saved. And you can hear, you see, this is the thing with this leper. You can hear about it. You can know that the blood was shed for you, for me. But unless it's applied to you, it does you no good. It has to be applied. David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be white as snow. Cleanse me, you see, completely. And so, using the hyssop, the priest sprinkled or applied the blood on the leper 7 times, of course, then pronounced him clean. You're clean now. 7, of course, is the number of completeness. It's finality. It's fullness. It's done. Just as Jesus cries from the cross, it is finished. You're sprinkled 7 times. It's done. It's finished. It's over. And we say, wow, awesome. Awesome. It's done with, you see. It's finished. And when the soldier, of course, pierced the side of Jesus, what came out of his side was water and blood. What was in that earthen vessel? over the running water where the bird was killed, water and blood. John is very clear in pointing that out to us, that it was water and blood that came out of his side. That's what we see on the cross as they check to see if he was still alive. That soldier pierced his side, you know, and water and blood came out. Now, why is that important? What's the water and the blood deal? I mean, that's gross. I mean, what's the deal? The bird's being killed in this vessel and the water's being poured over it, bloody water. I mean, well, water and blood together are what birthing fluids represent. When a woman gives birth, there is water and blood. It's what gives birth to the child. And you see, this is the ceremony that's being shown to us here. It pictures the birth of believers, which is only accomplished by Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And when he did, the birthing fluids came out of his side where his heart was, his heart being ruptured. And blood and water came out, and in so doing, we were cleansed and given new birth. The church was born that day when Jesus Christ died on the cross and birthing fluids poured from his heart. And the blood and water were there in the vessel, in that earthen vessel. What a Savior we have. What a picture this is. How did they know? How did that leper know that this worked? Well, the live bird stained with blood, that live bird that was kind of attached to the hyssop and the wood and the scarlet, that live bird stained with the blood that he was dipped in was set free. He was let go. And this, I believe, guys, pictures a couple of things. It pictures, yes, the resurrection of Jesus, as we mentioned before. The dead bird, his death on the cross. The live bird flying away free, his resurrection, you see, when Jesus rose again and then ascended back into the heavens to be with the Father. His blood, you see, or his scarred body released back to the Father. But it also pictures something else, I believe. We are pictured as being the ones born in this. The leper is the one cleansed here in this ceremony. And it pictures, I believe, the fact that we, you and me, we are set free because, of course, of the sacrifice that Jesus made. We are free to soar to heaven. We're the bird that was dipped in the blood. We're the bird that now is stained, literally, covered with the blood of the sacrificed one. And that bird that was set free was free indeed, but he was stained with blood. Just like we are. And we're free to soar to heaven like that bird, only because of that blood-stained body of mine now. I will be stained with the blood of Jesus forever. Thank God. I'm stained. I'm covered, you see, with it. We're set free because of that, you see. We're free to soar. But we'll always have that. Always, you see. Now, how did this leper that was to be cleansed, how did he really know, though, that he was cleansed? Well, the main way was that the priest told him he was. See, throughout this whole ceremony, there's one thing that the leper's waiting desperately to hear from that priest's lips, and that is, you are clean. You are cleansed. That's all he's waiting to hear. How do you know? How do I know that we're really saved? Because the word, the priest says to me, tells me so. you are cleansed. You're washed. You're saved, you see. The high priest tells us so. He tells me and you that we're saved. See, all the leopard wanted was to hear those words, you're clean. And it didn't matter what he looked like, because he would be scarred. And it didn't matter really what he felt like. All he wanted was to hear that he was clean. The priest said, you're cleansed, and man, that's all he needed to know. Oh, man. Awesome. So with us, isn't it? I mean, the Lord tells us we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and it doesn't matter what we look like. So many of us have had past lives that were destructive. And I've met people who have come off of real rugged pasts, and they still look a little rough. And probably always will, because they carry scars from their life before they knew the Lord. But you know what? They don't care. They don't care what they look like. I don't care if I look like, you know, I'm death warmed over. Because I'm not death warmed over. I'm alive. And they don't care if they carry around scars from their past life. Oh, it's a harsh reminder of who they were. But you know what? All they care about is that Jesus said, you're cleansed. You're clean. It doesn't matter. This leper didn't care what he looked like or what he felt like. He just knew that he was clean. He knew he heard those words, you are clean. And we, you see, that's all we need to know, isn't it? I mean, we're imperfect. We fail. But if we're his, we're going to make it. And you can hear people snicker about you if you listen real hard. You might hear somebody say, oh, him? Oh, brother. Or her? But you know what? Doesn't matter. All that matters is that he said, you're clean. You're cleansed. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what these lepers might have heard when they came back to camp. All that mattered to them was what that priest said outside the camp. He said, I can come back. He says, I'm welcome to come in to the camp. And nobody would have argued with them. Why are you here? The priest told me I could come. Those in heaven, you see, might look at us as the angels do and cock their heads. Them, Lord? Are they coming in? But we will have the same response. The priest said we could come in. As we point to the Lamb who was slain for me. And as we approach the throne of grace with our blood-stained bodies, all we're going to care about is we've been cleansed. The priest said so. Now, one other quick note, and then we'll wrap up. But what would help the leper practically after he was declared to be cleansed? What could he do? Well, we're told here that in verse 8 that he, the leper that is cleansed, shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair. Interesting. And wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows. Even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water. And he shall be clean. So the leper, after this ceremony was over with, the leper was to wash himself and his clothes for 7 days. He was to wash. He was to shave his hair and wash himself and his clothing. And then verse 9, he's to do it again. Do it all again. Wash again. Wash again. And the leper, you see, would wash again and again. And after he was declared to be cleansed, he washed anyway. Now, this is important because we would say, well, wait a minute. The priest said you're clean. You're cleansed. So you're clean, right? Yeah. So why does he have to wash again and again and wash his clothes? Because, guys, here's the thing. He had to personally apply what God said he was positionally. The priest said, you're clean, cleansed, washed, finished, done. And yet the leper had to go ahead and wash himself with what? Water. The word. He had to wash himself in order for that leper to personally embrace what God said he had positionally. He had to wash in the word, and he had to wash again, and he had to wash again. How long? 7 days. And then another 7 days. In the picture, it's just on and on. You just keep washing in the word. And that is how you appropriate. That is how you embrace. That is how you really live out your positional place in heaven here on earth. Because you wash in the word, you see. In our bodies, folks, our flesh needs to be washed again and again and again, doesn't it? Or we're positionally cleansed forever. Remember when Peter told Jesus, don't wash my feet, you know, and Jesus said, well, I have to, or you have no part with me. And Peter said, well, then, you know, give me a whole bath, bathe me, wash me from head to toe. And Jesus said, you don't need a bath because you are clean. You've been washed, Peter, but your feet are dirty. That place that comes into contact with the world is dirty. So let me wash that. But you, as a whole person, you're cleansed. I've washed you in that way. But your feet are dirty. And so that's the way it is with us. We have to continue to wash because our bodies, our flesh, get dirty. And our clothes, you see, that part of us that we touch the world with, our flesh is what our clothing touches, isn't it? So our flesh that gets touched by clothing can be defiled by that clothing unless our clothing itself is washed. Guys, that represents our lifestyle. How we live, the way that we live, what comes into contact with me and my flesh, that clothing, I need to wash it. Oh, do I need to wash it? That stuff, you see, that comes into contact with me needs to be washed. The old lifestyle has to be cleansed. And how was he cleansed this way? With the water of the word. Jesus said to them in John 15, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of Jesus Christ, the word of God will cleanse us continually, daily. And it's a huge mistake, I believe, to tell a person, hey, you need to get saved, which is true, but then not encourage them to wash in the water of the word. To tell somebody, you need to get saved. That is the important thing, no doubt about it. But it's a tragedy if someone gets saved and then is not encouraged, not drawn in to stay in the word. Because that is how their life is washed again and again and again, you see. Washing them daily, their garments continually. Now, it's important for you to realize this last point, and that is, the shaving, the washing, the cleansing of the clothing, all that stuff didn't cleanse the leper of his leprosy. God did that miraculously. The priest declared him cleansed, and he was cleansed. The things we do, guys, after God says, you're cleansed, you're saved, I did that through the blood of my son. It's finished. It's over. That is what saved you. doing the good works and all the rest does not save you. The leper was cleansed first. Then came what? Washing, cleansing. We are saved unto salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ, and unto good works we will do after that fact. Not we'll do that first and that'll allow us to be cleansed, which is exactly what so many people do. They reverse the order. I'll do good stuff, I'll clean myself up, I'll wash, and then I'll be worthy of being cleansed by the priest. Mm-mm. The priest came out to where the leper was, just as he was. The birds were there. The one was killed and one was let go. The blood was dipped, sprinkled, and the priest said, you're clean. Then came the life of cleansing and walking. Do you follow? It's not the other way around. And people can get hung up on this, say, oh, I get it. I need to walk clean and then I can be saved. No. But it was, and this is important, it was the evidence that a cleansing had taken place. It was evidence that something had happened, because the leper was shaved. I mean, he'd stand out. Even his eyebrows were shaved. Yikes. So here's a guy completely bald, shaved, cleaned, and, you know, people go, man, look at that guy. He's different. And people should look at us and say, man, he's different. He's really clean. This picture is a guy that looks like Mr. Clean. You remember Mr. Clean on the, shaved completely, and everybody go, wow, Mr. Clean. That's what they would say. And people should look at you and me and say, hey, Mr. Clean, huh? And they can tease you about it, but it should be true. It's okay to get made fun of because you don't party with the boys. It's okay to get made fun of because you don't do the things that you used to do. Because you've washed your clothes. You've shaved your face and your hair, your head, your eyebrows, for goodness sake. You look like Mr. Clean, and everybody might make fun of you, but it's okay because there should be a difference. It should be an evidence that a cleansing's taken place in your heart. And this would always remind the leper of what God had done for him, the cleansing. God's word, guys, it practically washes us. It shows us what our position is in heaven, in Christ. And I guess, we're just to walk worthy of that call. But again, this is the thing. Jesus has done all this for you and me because we're lepers. We're cleansed lepers, but no one could ever say that had leprosy, I never had it. I had it. I was full of leprosy, but I was cleansed. And all you have today is either cleansed lepers or uncleansed lepers. That's all we've got. Aren't you thankful for what he's done? Man, he has just done amazing things. I'm so blessed that he washed me. I'm so glad that I can soar into heaven, but I am stained all over with the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for your word today. And what an awesome thing you've done. What an amazing thing you've done, Lord, in bringing in these pictures of salvation, the picture of our Lord coming into this world and putting yourself, Father, into that earthen vessel. Oh, the mystery of godliness, that God would become a man. That you would become one of us in an earthen vessel and die so that we could be set free, so that we could be cleansed. We thank you for this truth, Lord. We're so amazed by it. And I just pray today that we would walk in a way, Father, that perhaps we haven't before, realizing that we are cleansed and that our walk should be clean. We should be washing as we are today in the Word, that it affects our life, that it cleans us up. It cleanses, Lord, those parts of our life that are perhaps touching the world. And we pray, Lord, that your Word today would wash our feet and wash our clothing. And anything that comes into contact with the world, we would be cleansed by it. Thanks for loving us so much. We praise you for your love and mercy. Bless you today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.